SIB Nation, Notre Dame fans, welcome back to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. Final podcast before we do our sort of like our last show we always do before game is our keys to victory and our prediction show. And so I got to tell you, man, I am ready to go. Excited about what we got going on here today, Trev, and excited to talk about the different topics today. We're going to take a couple deep dives into some matchups, and we've talked a lot about the big picture stuff, the run game versus pass game and all these different things. And today we're going to kind of dive into more of a personnel matchup look. And so we're going to have four different segments today. The first segment, we're going to break down sort of the matchups that we think could matter the most to this game. And obviously it's Notre Dame fans and Notre Dame show. It's more so to a Notre Dame win, but not thriving in these matchups could lead to a Georgia win. Or if the Georgia players perform better in those matchups, it'll have an impact on Georgia winning, Notre Dame losing. Then we'll dive into the segment two will be the defensive matchups, Notre Dame defense against the Georgia offense. And then finally, Trev, the last two segments are going to be more of a, here are five reasons why we believe Notre Dame is going to win this game. We both came up with our five. I think three of them, Trev, we were pretty much had the same, and then two others that were a little bit different. So we'll do all those. And then the final piece is going to be, what are the three biggest concerns that could keep Notre Dame from winning this football game? And we'll break down those two, and then it'll all kind of lead into tomorrow's show. Trev and I were talking too, and we're very concerned about how much of a stressful day Wednesday is going to be, waiting for the Notre Dame game to start and 8:45 kickoff. So we decided, you know what be a great way to pass the time on Wednesday morning is maybe around, like, I don't know, Trev, like 11 a.m. we just do a mailbag until the game start. Not the Notre Dame game, but the 1 o'clock game. Now, you and I both know we could probably do a mailbag from 11 o'clock till the kickoff of Notre Dame game. But no, until the 1 o'clock game start. So we're going to do a little special Notre Dame Irish Breakdown mailbag at 11 o'clock on Wednesday. That way, that 2 hours will fly by for all of us. You guys can get your questions in, and we can kind of help that roll. And then, of course, 1 o'clock game start. If we still have a bunch of good questions, we may go a little bit beyond that as we're watching the 1 o'clock game. But I'm excited. And then, of course, by Wednesday, Trev, we'll know at least who one of the semifinal teams is going to be, because Boise State and Penn State kick off tomorrow night. So I'm excited about these next couple days. And of course, we'll have a post-game show that night and punch for the review and all that kind of good stuff. So, and then hopefully we'll be talking about, okay, what's next? We got Penn State or Boise State coming up. So that's going to be the next part of it. So I'm excited, Trev. I know you are too, man. This is going to be a fun show.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks, because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits, and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my one-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
Yeah, man, I'm ready to dive into it. I'm too anxious. I really was hoping I was going to wake up today and it was going to be Wednesday, but it's not. You and I were also talking before the show. I don't know how it's been for anybody in the chat, but my days have been really messed up lately. I mean, you know, maybe it's because Notre Dame's playoff game was a Friday, Christmas was a Wednesday, but I was driving around in the car yesterday. My wife and I were coming back from a family Christmas, and I was like, man, it's at least tomorrow's Saturday. And she's like, no, it's a Monday. So I'm just ready to get back to the normal schedule, and I'm ready to watch Notre Dame take on Georgia in the Sugar Bowl.
Yep. Trev, this is obviously it's a big one for Notre Dame. You know, for Georgia, it's kind of like, okay, we've been here before. We're going to keep being here, and this is what we do. For Notre Dame, it's your opportunity to say, hey, listen, no, we're on this stage now. We belong on the stage now. We're one of those teams now. And really, that's what's at stake for Notre Dame. And in order to thrive and win that type of football game, Trevor, you need your people, your players, to step up and play at a high level. And there's especially true in some of the matchups where either A, you have an advantage, or B, the other team has an advantage, and you have to kind of hold your water, or sometimes even win those matchups. And so those are the things that we're going to talk about. And we're going to kick things off, Trevor, with the offense, breaking down the Notre Dame offense against the Georgia defense. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I made my list of matchups. You made your list. And then we got together and we're like, look, we're going to talk about all of them. We're not going to just talk about my three matchups. And then you have to share what you think about my three matchups. We're going to talk about the three matchups that we both believe. So there's a chance we could be talking about six different matchups, but you and I were pretty much on the same page on two of the three. And the first one is a bit of a no-brainer, in my opinion, Trevor. This is a matchup that Notre Dame doesn't have to dominate, but they have to avoid being dominated. They just have to hold their own. And that is the matchup between Anthony Knapp and Emile Wagner against the Georgia edge players. We're looking at Mykel Williams, Chaz Chambliss, and Jalen Walker. And with Emile, it's both phases of the game. It's run and pass game. You know, Emile's been as steady of a player as Notre Dame has had all year, but he hasn't had a ton of dominant moments this season. And they don't need him to necessarily have a dominant moment, but they just need him to be physical at the point of attack, be effective in the run game. Don't get beat across your face a lot, because Georgia's going to run a lot of slants right across his face with their big guys, and they're going to then try to come off the edge in different ways, and they put a lot of stress on tackles. They need Emile to step up and play well. And on the other side, with Anthony Knapp, I'm not concerned about this matchup for Knapp in the run game. I'm concerned about this matchup for Knapp in the pass game. And one of the biggest things could really blow this game up, Trevor, and really my first two matchups address that. But if Riley Leonard if this is one of those games like Indiana was at times, like Louisville was at times, where Riley Leonard just has no time to throw the football, which makes the pass game kind of just not really a threat, that's going to be hard to do what you need to do to win this football game, unless your defense just absolutely plays their best game of the season. It's going to be really hard. And so that's why I put in really both phases of the game, to some degree, this matchup between the Notre Dame tackles and the Georgia edge players is going to be huge.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, we can talk all the live long day about, you know, Riley has to be smart with his decisions and get the ball out on time. The receivers need to come off the line of scrimmage. The tight ends need to win their one-on-one battles. And all of that is true, right? I think we can all agree that that is kind of a common consensus of what we believe the offense needs to do to win this game. However, it all starts up front, right? It begins with the big guys up front holding their own. The way that I view this matchup is very similar to week one and how we talked about how Anthony Knapp going up against Nick Scorton, an all Big Ten pass rusher that transferred into Texas A&M, he just has to hold his own. Nobody was expecting him to go in and look like Joe Alt and look like a first-round draft pick as a true freshman, right? But Anthony Knapp and Emile Wagner are going to have their work cut out for him, because they're going up against a dynamic edge-rushing team in Georgia. I mean, Mykel Williams is really athletic off the edge. I mean, he's what, 6'5", 265 coming off the edge. Chaz Chambliss is tied for the league or for the team's lead in sacks. And then obviously Jalen Walker's kind of their third down guy that comes in, and he has a knack for getting after the quarterback. So they're going to have to hold their own. Yeah, I'm not – the expectation is not, you know, come out and look like the best moments of Joe Alt and Blake Fisher, because I think that's an unreasonable standard to hold these two first-year starters to, right? But if you can come in and hold your own, Riley Leonard can't be having those two guys be driven back into his lap in quick game.
Right.
Because part of the keys that we're going to talk a little bit about more tomorrow – is getting bigger chunk plays down the field. That's not going to happen if Riley Leonard has a second and a half to throw the football.
Yep.
So those two guys along the edge are going to have a huge key into the offensive success. And I'm glad you included Emile Wagner in the run game as well, because I'm in the same boat as you. I'm not worried about Anthony Knapp in the run game. He's been proven that he can move people off the line of scrimmage. That 98-yard touchdown run that Jeremiah Love had against Indiana, he had the key block to seal that edge, and he could fit in the gap. But Emile Wagner is going to have to basically be who he has been all season and be that consistent player. Now, Riley Leonard, during their media day in practice before they flew down to New Orleans, even mentioned Emile by name, saying he's kind of been the most consistent guy that mm-hmm. we've had. You know, there's been no shifting. He hasn't had to leave the game at any point in time. So he's just going to have to remain more of that. So I'm with you.
Yeah. And Emile hasn't had that really bad game that I think like every other lineman has had one of this year. You know, Billy Shrouth had one recently. I mean, we've seen Anthony Knapp have some really bad games, especially in pass pro. We've seen Rocco have some rough games. We've seen Coogan have some rough games. Not a lot of them. I mean, you don't run for 200 yards in 6 of your last 7 games if your offensive linemen are just constantly having bad games. But like everybody's had at least one this year. Emile had a game, and I'm trying to remember which one it was. It was one of the second half of the season games where I didn't think he played well, but it wasn't like he was a liability, and that needs to continue in this game. He just has to hold his own. That's going to be the big key. Just hold your own in this matchup. And if he can do that, then I think Notre Dame is going to be able to keep those edge players. Look, they're going to make their plays. They're going to have some really tough edge sets where they, you know, stop a run. They're going to have some pressures where they force Riley Leonard out of the pocket. They're probably going to get a sack or two in this game. It's probably going to happen. But, you know, it's like I think of the pressure that I believe it was Mikhail Kamara had just whooped Anthony Knapp on the edge. And Knapp got beat, but he recovered, and he just got hands on Kamara and just rode him just outside. And Riley climbs in the pocket and then lets loose with a strike on a 44-yard post route. Like, yeah, you got beat, but you held your water. You recovered, you kept your quarterback clean, right? This isn't even just about, okay, come off and stone him every single time. It's just don't let him get hits on the quarterback. Sometimes that means riding him where he wants to go and let Riley go do his thing. It pass pro is very similar to the run game, Trev, where, yeah, you need to be more firm in the pass game to not allow the pocket to collapse. But if you do get beat, keep a body on a body and let your quarterback do his thing. That's really the key. And hopefully they can do that and have some success in this game. Because my concern is getting beat off both sides. Williams with a power move off one side, and either Walker or Chambliss with more of an athletic move off the other side. That's where you start getting a little bit concerned about where this thing is going to go.
Yeah, I think one thing that should be addressed is when you get to this level of game, right, and you get to this caliber of opponent, I think there's a lot of questions around what does good look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see a player get beat once and then automatically it's, well, they just had a horrible game. And it's, you know what I mean?
When it's the other way too. I saw somebody trying to advocate for how well Anthony Knapp played against Indiana. And the thing right. that they showed was the phenomenal block he had on the 98-yard touchdown run.
Right.
Like, well, I could show you about 7 or 8 pass rushes where he didn't look like you. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. you can't get wrapped up on that one play. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, good for me is just playing at a level of consistency, right? And what does that look like either way? When you're going up against NFL caliber guys on both sides of the football, each of their teams are going to get their own, right? But we start talking about how well or how poorly somebody performed based on the level of consistency that they did or did not play at. And so that's something like when we start talking about deep run playoff matchups, it's different than talking about what we need to see from Anthony Knapp versus Stanford, right? Like the expectation against Stanford, right, is like, hey, like for 95% of the plays, you are kind of expected to stonewall these guys. You're not allowing not only hits on the quarterback, you're not allowing hurries. But in games like this, it's, hey, stay engaged. If somebody beats you around the edge, Brian, to your point, ride them to the outside. Give your quarterback time to step up in the pocket. Same thing in the run game. You know, we've seen tight ends in the run game from time to time just kind of lose engagement with people, and they are free running to make the play at the end. So, you know, I think it is worth highlighting what good looks like, because it's not just going to be this full four-quarter dominant performance where it's like, yo, I mean, good thing Anthony Knapp is only a true freshman, because or else he'd be going to the league next year. It's not going to look like that. If it does, what's up?
This is going to be a long day for Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is the thing. If this is a matchup that, like our expectation for Notre Dame is just don't get whooped on the edge. You don't need to look like you said, Trevor. This doesn't need to look like you're playing Stanford. You're not. You're playing Georgia. They're older than the Notre Dame guys are. The Notre Dame players are a little undersized there. Athletically, they can handle. I'm not worried about them getting out-athleted on the edge. I'm worried about them getting bullied on the edge. That's really my big concern. Or them not handling the line games effectively, which is a big concern in this game. It's just hold your own. That's the key. Hold your own. When you're playing edge players this good, it's just hold your own. And that's going to be true on the other side of the ball as well. And we'll get into that here in a little bit as also. Trev, my biggest concern when I think about, I've said that, I mean, this is a consistent theme for me, and this matchup really concerns me. I'm a big believer, and maybe this is the old quarterback in me, that when you get dominated up the middle, that is the biggest kryptonite to an offense. There's not a lot you can do. You can't run stretch away from it because the middle can just blow up the stretch as well. You can run outside of it, but if you're getting dominated by the two interior players or the interior player, if you're in a three down and two inside linebackers, well, then they can just have their safeties and their outside linebackers play the alleys because you're just getting your physically man-on-man whooped up the middle. That's going to be a big concern that I have in this game. And then on the flip side, if Notre Dame can win up the middle, that's where they're going to have a big day running the football. And the matchup that's most important to that, in my opinion, is Pat Coogan against Nazir Stackhouse. This is a huge one for me because Nazir Stackhouse is a 6'3", 320-pound kid. We saw Notre Dame struggle with Zeke Biggers. Now, Nazir Stackhouse is not quite as long, and I don't think he's quite as talented as Biggers, but it's not a huge drop-off between the two. And Biggers was a big reason why Notre Dame had some trouble at times getting the run game going. Now, they still were able to break off a couple big runs. They ended up going for 168 yards in that game. And if they rush for 168 yards against Georgia, I feel Notre Dame has a pretty decent chance to win this football game. But what you have to prevent is getting dominated up the middle. And with Coogan, he's been the guy that when they've had issues getting driven back, it's usually Coogan. Where Shrouth and Rocco have issues is they'll get beat on twists and stunts where they don't come off the twist and pick it up. And that's a big concern I have because Georgia plays a lot of line games, more than I've seen from them in the past. They run a lot of twists and stunts. Now, in some ways, that can play into Notre Dame's hands because when you watch Georgia's opponents, I saw a video that said, Georgia, there's only been like Bama's the only team that really beat Georgia on inside zone. Well, I don't think that's necessarily accurate, number one. I've seen some other teams. Kentucky had some success with it. But they don't really play anybody that runs a ton of inside zone. I mean, Auburn runs a lot of the Hugh Freeze misdirection off tackle outside zone. A lot of teams don't run inside zone. There's a lot of teams run counters and wraps. And Texas isn't a team that just comes at you with a bit real physical inside zone. They're more of a finesse rushing attack. This is a different type of animal for Georgia, but it's also a different type of animal for Notre Dame as well. That's the interesting aspect of it. And when Notre Dame struggles with those line games, that's a problem. But the bigger concern for Georgia is if you're running those line games and Notre Dame picks them up, then those running backs are going to go do some damage, right? That's the counter to that. There is no counter to your centers just getting dominated and push back into the line of scrimmage. That's the big concern I have because now your guards need to help out on him, and that's when you start to see the linebacker run-throughs really create issues. So this is a matchup where if Pat Coogan, again, it's not about – Pat Coogan does not need to dominate Nazir Stackhouse. Just do your job. Just hold your own. Just don't get dominated, right? And that includes pass game, getting driven right into Riley Leonard's lap, and that also includes run game. You know, when you're coming off in the run game and you're running your inside zones, you've got to hold your own and get some movement there. And now there's some things I think Mike Denbrock could do to help that. We could maybe see some counter in this game. We could maybe see the outside zone that they ran effectively against Indiana. There was a breakdown video talking about how good Notre Dame, you know, how that inside. And the funny thing is, in that video, he's talking about, you know, the inside zone. He's referring to the 98-yard touchdown run, and he calls it inside zone. That's not inside zone. That's Notre Dame's outside zone play. Because what a lot of people don't understand is Notre Dame's outside zone play is not a stretch. It is an off-tackle run. That is how they run their outside zone. And that was an outside zone play. So was the 20-yard run from Jadarian Price, because I think there was some concern about, can they move C.J. West off the ball, who was, what, 6'2", 317, really good football player for Indiana. Similar matchup here. And so that's where you got to say, hey, look, with Coogan, you've got to hold your own. You've got to hold your water, and then you've got to win a few reps. You don't got to win all of them. You just got to hold your own and then a few times win some reps. And that's when Georgia has had some problems, is when interior linemen just don't get driven back by the Georgia blockers. Because this group of Georgia interior players, that includes Kristen Miller and the rest of that depth chart, they're big and physical kids, but they're not the playmakers that some of the other guys were. They're not quite as dominant as a Jordan Davis, a Jalen Carter, guys like that. And so it's more so about when they've had trouble, it's when teams just kind of do exactly what we said, just hold your own inside and then let the backs work. And if they're able to do that, then I think they'll be able to have success running the football. There's no question about it. If they don't, then you're going to see Notre Dame give up some negatives. And that's kind of what started happening late in the second quarter, but into the third quarter against Indiana when Rocco went out, is they started getting push in the run game. They started forcing early cuts. They can't let that happen against Georgia.
Yeah, for me on the interior, the biggest concern outside of the run game is pass protection. Because, like you said, maybe it's just the former position in me kind of speaking up. But pressure up the middle is tough to get anything done with. Gap escapes look different when you're getting pressure right up the middle. You can't step up into the pocket. You're forced to try to make a play along the outside, which plays right into Georgia's wheelhouse when you have guys like Jalen Walker and Michael Williams and Chaz Chambliss kind of coming at you from the outside and on the perimeter. So, I mean, protection up the middle is going to be vital, because if not, Georgia won't have to send any additional pass rushers besides their three down linemen and one of Chaz Chambliss or Jalen Walker off the edge, right? And that's the thing that concerns me. If that front three, front four start to get pressure on Riley Leonard and they don't have to bring any additional pressure, their linebackers are great, and where they live is in the run game. I don't think that they are world beaters when it comes to pass coverage. I just don't think that enough teams attack them in ways that they could be. But if you put them in a position where they don't have to rush and they can just kind of hang out and cover underneath, then that's going to be a real long day for Notre Dame's offense. Because once they start bringing in additional pressures and throwing behind blitzes, that's what Alabama had a lot of success with. You know, their defensive line wasn't able to generate that much pressure against Ole Miss. And that was one of the reasons why they had a lot of offensive success there. They just, Ole Miss let their skilled guys kind of go to work and do good things in the open field. So, yeah, pressure up the middle is something that just can't happen. I'm with you. Like, you got to hold your own, not asking anybody to play above a level that they haven't or aren't capable of playing to. But for me, it's all about consistency, you know, because Georgia is a team, we've been saying it for the last week and a half, Georgia is a team that can make you pay for your mistakes. And if you start having a game that starts to look a lot like this and not as much like this, it's going to be a long day. So protection up the middle is going to be key. Absolutely.
If you're like me, you're looking for an edge for sports betting. So when I heard MasterClass had a new class on betting the odds taught by the pros who've made millions, I had to check it out. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become the best. MasterClass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow from over 200 of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with MasterClass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access MasterClass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Go past guessing, learn data-driven strategies and tactical thinking from the pros who've mastered high-stakes sports betting. Sharpen your skills, assess risks, and make better decisions. And the classes really do make a difference. 88% of members feel that MasterClass has made a positive impact on their lives. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with MasterClass. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes as much as 50% off. So head over to masterclass.com/Irish for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/Irish. masterclass.com/Irish. And remember, all sports betting involves risk, and you are responsible for complying with all sports betting laws in your jurisdiction. So forget the lucky jersey or the assigned seating on game day. Learn from the sharps who meticulously manage risk and evaluate data when making decisions on where and when to wager their money. Only with MasterClass. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare ya. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Here's my third one, Trevor. We're going to get into some skill now. Bo Collins against Dalen Everett. It's a big one. Bo Collins at times this season has been a good football player for Notre Dame. He's never been dominant, and they don't need him to be dominant in this game either. At times, he's been a good football player for Notre Dame, and at times, he's honestly been a liability. And for most of the season, he was a good, solid player, good, steady player for Notre Dame. And then late in the year, Trev, he started to become a little bit of a liability because he wasn't making plays anymore, and he was dropping balls. And in this game, from what I have seen in the games I've broken down, Georgia plays a lot of field boundary with their corners. They'll have Daniel Harris to the field, and then Dalen Everett to the boundary. When teams go twins, they'll go corners over a lot. At least they did against Texas, and I would anticipate them doing the same thing against Notre Dame. So they'll go corners over. And in a lot of those matchups, it's going to be Dalen Everett against Bo Collins. Bo's going to have some wins in this game. He's going to have some wins in this game. Does he need to go out there and have 6 catches for 100 yards? No, he doesn't. He needs to have 4 for 60, 5 for 65, 5 for 70, something like that. He's got to have those chain-moving plays. He's going to have to be able to work the middle of the field. He's going to have to win on some quick game, right? Some RPO glance routes. He's going to have to win on some in cuts, things that Notre Dame asks him to do. Bo has got to be on top of his game. They need him to be on top of his game if Notre Dame is going to be able to move the ball well enough to put up 20-plus, you know, points against this Georgia defense. And they can. They certainly can. But he's going to have to play well. That's going to be a big key. And then also in the run game. Because they do have big, long corners that want to funnel everything back inside. But one thing that Bo has been pretty good at, even when he struggled in the pass game, he's been still pretty good as a run blocker. That needs to continue in this game as well, Trev. But if they can win some of those one-on-ones, win on some of those stop routes, win on some comebacks, win on some glance routes in the RPO game, win on a couple digs, and Bo has a 5-6 catch game with no big mistakes, I think that's going to make it a lot easier to move the football against Georgia. A lot easier. If Bo Collins gets dominated in a one-on-one matchup against Dalen Everett, or if he struggles, even if he doesn't get dominated, but he just doesn't catch the football, that's going to make it a lot easier for Georgia to roll their coverage to the tight ends and protect against the run game and things like that. If they know that they can just bring that boundary safety down in the alley all game long because Bo Collins is going to make them pay for it, that's going to make it a lot easier for Georgia to get the numbers in the box they need to slow down or shut down the Notre Dame run game. And so Bo Collins is going to have a huge role in this game. The better he plays, the better this offense will be. I mean, that it's not that simple, but for him specifically, it kind of is. This is what you got brought here for. This is what you came here for, was to be on this stage, was to have this opportunity to show what kind of player you believe you are. Well, here it is. It's the biggest opportunity for you. And it's a great opportunity for Bo to kind of change the narrative a little bit on himself with Notre Dame fans. But more importantly, obviously, is it'll have a big impact on the game. This is a matchup that he's got to win, Trev. He's got to win, in my opinion, to have this success. And so, you know, and you could even go into the other outside too, right? And I know you'll kind of talk a little bit about that before we get to your third one. But I think this is one where, especially Bo, because of how Notre Dame has run their offense, is going to have to be important in this game.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that I need to see from Bo Collins is fighting for the football. That's been my biggest complaint out of him. I mean, if I'm just being 100% transparent, like, look, the drops are excessive, and I think we can all agree on that, but drops will happen. The level of consistency that they've been happening at, I haven't been happy with. But you look at a guy like Arian Smith. Arian Smith struggles with drops, but the counter to that is he's a big play threat, and he shows up in big games, and there's always some sort of counter. Bo Collins, he's not a burner by any means. He's not going to take the top off of any defense, but he's a 6'3 boundary possession receiver. And there's been multiple times this season where it doesn't feel like he's fighting for the football, you know? And that's going to be my biggest thing, especially going up against good sized corners like what Georgia has, right? And so for me, for Bo Collins, what I need to see is that fight for the football, the relentless pursuit to go up after the football, high point, do the things that, to your point, you were brought into South Bend to do. Right? Because right now, if there's one thing in Notre Dame's offense that I think that it is lacking overall, is that it's a pure boundary guy. That's a possession guy, go-to guy on third down, somebody that, you know, is a for sure fire red zone target, you know, and I think that's what's kind of missing from this offense right now. So Bo Collins has the opportunity to kind of right the ship on the biggest stage. I'm not expecting him to go out and do what, you know, a Jordan Faison did against Indiana or have some insane stat line, but when he's given the opportunity, he needs to win those one-on-one matchups, similar to what he did against Texas A&M on that final drive, you know, because really since that moment, we haven't seen a lot of that. You know, his touchdown against Miami of Ohio, he blew by the corner. You know, his touchdown against Navy, there was a bust in coverage, nobody covered him, Riley saw it, and Bo finished the route, and it was a good play, but what you were brought in to do, I'd make the argument we've seen once, and it was in week one. So now's your opportunity to go out and do it again at the biggest stage that you've played on in your career. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's going to be huge. And then we were talking about this before the show. It's going to be interesting to see who the other outside receiver is going to be, not from like a personnel standpoint, like nobody's hurt out there. It's just they rotate so many different guys that I don't know who it's going to be. But whoever's going against Daniel Harris has to win his matchups as well. Like Notre Dame's ability to push the ball down the field vertically is going to be a group effort. I'm not expecting it to just be one guy. You know, Jordan Faison's coming off of one of, if not his best game in a Notre Dame uniform when you consider the magnitude of the game. I'm fairly confident that George is going to know where number six is, wherever he's lining up on the field. Because right now, that's Notre Dame's most lethal threat in the passing game, if we're just being honest. So,
and not just because of that game,
right?
I mean, we saw it against Army. Mm-hmm. You know, he Navy. Gets that first big play of the game. We saw it against Navy, where in some of these bigger games, Notre Dame has tried to make sure that early in the game, Jordan Faison becomes a factor. Who's 5'2", going against Daniel Harris, who's 6'2" or 5'10". He's 5'10".
Yeah,
going up against a corner who's, I believe, 6'2". So it's going to be length and strength against speed and quickness.
Yeah.
Interesting matchup.
Yeah. So somebody else is going to have to step up. Like this is one of those games where multiple players are going to have to step up. It's one of those where your dudes have to go be dudes and then dudes have to present themselves as dudes. Like if Notre Dame's going to make a run, I love what they've done so far this season. And I have confidence that Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love and Riley Leonard are going to continue to do what they're going to do. Right. But somebody else has to join in on the party because at some point, especially when you start playing this level of defenses, starting off now with the Georgia Bulldogs who've won two out of the last three national championships, at some point, somebody's going to just say, hey, you've done this to all these other teams. We refuse to let you beat us with Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price. You're going to have to find another way to do it. And so to me, I look at it, it's a group effort. I think in the wide receiver room, it starts with a Bo Collins. You know, but then somebody else is going to have to step up. We've kind of been waiting for that Jaden Greathouse breakout game, kind of had it against Louisville. He's had other moments where he has a big play, and then he just doesn't get targeted again for the rest of the game. For whatever reason, we've seen Jordan Faison and spurts be really good. You know, we've seen moments where Chris Mitchell has, but somebody else is going to have to step up opposite of them, which also kind of leads into what my third point is, which is the tight ends. The tight ends at Notre Dame have not like the room as a whole has not really lived up to what some of the preseason speculation was. And some of that, it's a really injured room, right? Like Cooper Flanagan came out and he was kind of like tight end one until he got hurt. Mitchell Evans started against Texas A&M. That was his 9 months removed from tearing his ACL. It's kind of been a battle back for him, but Notre Dame needs to take advantage of these matchups against these Georgia linebackers in the run and in the pass game. Okay. Starting off in the run game, and I've mentioned it over the last couple weeks, the blocking from the tight end position has been very inconsistent. And when you have linebackers like Georgia's who can fly around, make plays, are known for coming fast downhill, blowing up run plays on the edge, the tight ends are going to have to stay engaged because for the most part, it's not like they're blocking the complete wrong guy. They're making contact with the right guy. They have a good initial pop, and then it's just they kind of just ride out the block. They disengage, and then they don't touch him afterwards. And so blocking from the tight end room is going to be important, especially with the task at hand, like we just talked about with the offensive line, right? Tight ends are going to have to do a good job of blocking around the line of scrimmage and then moving up to the linebackers because those linebackers for Georgia can be game wreckers if given the opportunity. But in the pass game specifically, not a lot of teams have tried to attack Georgia and their linebackers, which I think is interesting because what the numbers tell us, you know, I looked at all of the linebackers, their coverage stats, not grades, but their stats of what they've given up on Pro Football Focus, right? And I went through and I looked, and C.J. Allen's kind of like their dude. Like, he's their dude in that linebacker room. And this season, he's given up 19 receptions on 28 targets. I mean, this is a guy that's given up a catch 67, close to 68% of the time, but he's only been targeted 28 times throughout the course of the entire season. Some of that is because some teams just really haven't had that much success getting like having the ability to pass the ball downfield because their D line gets home so much, but their linebackers give up plays in coverage. Smail Munden, he's given up 7 receptions on 12 targets. Jalen Walker's never really targeted that much because like he's more used as like a third down pass rusher. Then they have another guy that rotates in, Raylan Wilson, and he has given up 10 receptions on 14 targets. So more times than not, when you go after these linebackers in passing situations, they're going to give up receptions. Now, it's a little different because schematically, Georgia runs a lot of zone compared to what Notre Dame does, running a lot of man.
Especially at the linebacker level. They'll play some man on the outside and match up zone on the inside, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's opportunities like that. We're talking a lot about who else needs to step up in the pass game. Yes, the wide receivers need to. But you have three tight ends that, in my opinion, are all mismatch nightmares. You have Mitchell Evans, who is a preseason, second-team All-American. You have Eli Raridan, who's 6'7", and a matchup nightmare for linebackers and safeties. And then you have Cooper Flanagan, who's 6'6", and has shown his ability to catch the football. So those three guys, I think, are going to help open up the pass game, especially if George is getting pressure early, getting the ball into the hands of the tight ends. I mean, we're saying the same thing about Gunnar Stockton on the other side of the field. Georgia has a good room of tight ends. It's a young quarterback. Notre Dame's going to try to pressure him early, so they need to look for their tight ends. And I think Riley Leonard needs to do more of the same, but for different reasons. You know, when Riley Leonard needs to get into a rhythm, they try to get the ball into the hands of 88 and 6. And I don't think that that's a mystery. And so getting Riley into a rhythm early, I think the tight ends are going to hold a huge part in that. And they're going to just add another element to this passing attack that is much needed, because as much as I would love to see Jeremiah Love rip off runs for 98, and I just don't know how much that's going to happen.
That's not happening against Georgia. He can break some big ones, right? I broke this down in a run game article yesterday, Trev. It's actually, you can find it on the front page of at IrishBreakdown.com. And of course it's published at boards.irishbreakdown.com. But here's a crazy statistic for you that I had from yesterday's from this article, which is just wild. Notre Dame has 16 touchdown runs of 20 yards or more. That includes 7 of 50 yards or more. Love has 4 of those. Price has 2 of those. And Riley Leonard has 1 of those. Think about that. 16 rushing touchdowns of over 20 yards or more. That's not 16 plays of 20 yards or more. That's 16 scoring plays of 20 yards or more. and they've got one in almost every game. And so you feel like there's going to be a big play at some point in time. It's just probably not going to be like 98. It's, you know, and you got to hope that it becomes a scoring play. That's the big thing. But it's going to be that efficiency part of it, though, right, to your point. And that's where they've got to play better. It's just the third and two has got to be moved. The second and six has to become third and one, not third and five, because you whiff on a block on the edge. You know what's a really fascinating part about this matchup, Trevor? The two areas where I'm most concerned about Notre Dame stacking up against Georgia are the two areas that are traditionally Notre Dame's biggest strengths. Notre Dame gets called O-line U, and they get called tight end U. And those are the two areas that I'm most concerned about. Can they perform against Georgia? I'm not worried about quarterback, to be honest with you, to a degree. No. I'm not worried about running back at all. Receiver just kind of is what it is, right? I mean, we'll kind of see what that is. I'm concerned about that. But, you know, these are the two areas where you have to be at your best. And the reality is the last two times they played Georgia, O-line U got whipped. You know, I mean, 17 was a better performance than 19, and I still say the backs had some issues. I still say Josh Adams should have had about a 50-yard touchdown run in that game if he would have followed Mike McGlinchey on a G-scheme play. I think it was a buck sweep play, but he follows him outside. He might go. Didn't, and, you know, so I think these backs would have performed better behind that offensive line, but the reality is they were not able to go bully Georgia in 2017 with the best offensive line Notre Dame has had in 50 years. They were not able to beat Georgia up front. They Notre Dame didn't even try to run the ball. Notre Dame looked like Texas this year in 2019 trying to run the ball on Georgia. Didn't even try. Now, part of that is they had one healthy running back on the roster at the time, and that was Tony Jones Jr. And that was really it. But the fact is they didn't win in the trenches. This game has to be one where the offensive line looks like, okay, this is why you're known as O-line U. Because your offensive line played well. Again, that's not going to look like this isn't going to look like USC versus Notre Dame 2017, where you know, middle of the game, Nazir Stackhouse is no moss in it, giving us back to Quentin Nelson and just let Notre Dame go for 50 because he just don't want to get hit in the face anymore. That won't happen in this game. I don't care how hard you hit them. This Georgia team, we've said it a million times, Trevor, in this last 2 weeks, this team's not going to quit. I mean, if Notre Dame jumps up on Georgia 28-0 at halftime, Georgia's going to come out in the second half and be like, all right, here we come. Get ready for us. Here we come. Yeah,
new ball game.
Right? They're not going to quit. Mm-hmm. But it's going to have to be 60 minutes of do your job, do your job, do your job, do your job, do your job. It's not dominate. It's just do your job. And as we've seen all year, if the tight ends just do their job, just, you know, run with good, you know, come off the line with urgency, catch the balls that are thrown to you. You know, if you think you're the number two target, then still run like you're the number one target because you never know, the ball may still come your way. Do your job on the edge. You just got to get a body on that guy. Don't get beat across your face. Handle the twists. Handle the stunts. You know, just don't get dominated. If they just play good football and O-line U and tight end U lives up to expectations, then Notre Dame's going to win this football game. But that did not happen in 2017 and 2019. Now, in 2019, they looked like tight end U because Cole Kmet could not be guarded by Georgia.
Correct.
Right? But the offensive line did not do what they needed to do. In 17, neither. Neither of those groups played well. That's got to change more than anything, Trevor, in this game if Notre Dame is going to win. And that's what a lot of our matchup stuff reflects, is that right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you said it best. Do your job. Execute. I'm not asking anybody to go out and perform like they're a day one top 10 NFL draft pick. Go out and do your job and perform at the highest of and do the things that got you to this point. You know, and so luckily, I don't really believe that this is a team that the stage is going to be too big for this team. I genuinely don't believe that. But those two position groups, O-line U, tight end U, the things that Notre Dame has been built on, they have to perform at the highest level that they have this season. And if they do that, I think it's going to be a good day for the Notre Dame offense. Yep.
So, Trev, that's going to do it for our offensive breakdown. And next, we're going to go to the defense and break down that matchup, which is also going to be very interesting. But before we do, folks, do us a favor. Y'all see that little thumbs up right below you while you're just kind of hanging out watching the show? Go ahead and hit that like button for us. We would appreciate that. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. You have your notification bells on. And, of course, share the show. Not only physically hit the share button and share it with your followers, but also tell your friends and family about what we've got going on here at Irish Breakdown. And for you Georgia fans that are in the chat, we've had some people show up. Ohio State fans showed up for the 2022 game, and they've hung around. So if you guys like people to talk ball, you're more than welcome to hang around past this game. Some of them have been pretty good contributors. Some of them aren't allowed to post here anymore because they don't know how to act like grownups. But we all have those, right? Every fan base, including Notre Dame, has some of those people. So we appreciate y'all. But you guys go ahead and hit that like button for us as well.